Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's first quarter 2021 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 27th, 2021. With us online today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Adi Molcho Weinstein, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Molcho Weinstein, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call for Bank Leumi's financial statements for the first quarter of 2021, ended March 31st, 2021. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the development, strategy, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Hadar Zamir, Head of Accounting, and Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange website. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Adi, and good day all. I would like to thank you for joining us to review Leumi's results. I will begin from slide three. As seen on the graph on top, Israel continues to lead global vaccination efforts. This has resulted in the expedited reopening of the Israeli economy. At this stage, the number of active cases has dropped sharply following the rapid and successful deployment of the vaccine for the population of age 16 and over. The number of active cases is lower than 1,000, down from a peak of 85,000 in early February of this year. Currently, 5.5 million people, nearly 60% of the entire population, have received the full course of vaccinations. Moreover, the ratio of the vaccinated population within the eligible age group is much higher, well above 80%. This countrywide application of the vaccines has accelerated the reopening of activities and the economic recovery, positively impacting Israel's GDP. I'm moving on to slide four. During the first quarter of 2021, there was a lockdown that started in late December 2020 and started to loosen gradually during February 2021. The loosening of restrictions led to a substantial reopening of the economy during March 2021. Among the many economic sectors that have reopened are hotels, sports events, theaters, stores, and restaurants. The Bank of Israel forecast from April calls for a 6.3% increase in GDP in 2021 based on the rapid containment of COVID-19. The removal of the pandemic-related restrictions and the opening of the economy to broad activity led to an increase in the Composite State of the Economy Index in March 2021 compared to March 2020, reflecting the highest year-on-year growth of the past 12 months ending in March 2021. The Bank of Israel emphasized in its announcement of this indicator that the removal of most of the pandemic-related restrictions has led to a rapid recovery of economy activity, especially private consumption activities. The positive developments are also reflected in the strengthening of consumer confidence, which increased in the first half of April and rose to the highest level since the start of the pandemic. This positive trend has also been reflected in credit card usage. In April 2021, the broad unemployment rate was down to 10.6% from a peak of 37.1% in April 2020. As a reminder, it includes employees temporarily absent from work due to the coronavirus crisis and those dismissed since the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020. According to the Bank of Israel, unemployment is also expected to improve by the end of the year to 7.5%, with a further substantial decline to a level of 6% by Q4 2022. Now, I return to the financial results. As you can see on slide 5, improvement is evident across the board. We have managed to increase the net finance income despite the drop in the Bank of Israel and the Fed interest rates. This increase was achieved by a substantial growth in our credit portfolio. In the first quarter of 2021, we increased our credit portfolio by over 4% on the back of a 4.6% increase in 2020, focusing our growth again on middle market, mortgages, and corporate. This positive effect was partially offset by the reduction in the interest rates. The increase in the finance income was also affected positively by the CPI, which was a negative 0.5% in Q1 2020 and a positive 0.1% in Q1 2021. Regarding the non-interest income, in Q1 2020, we recorded a loss of 660 million shekels due to the losses in the capital market, derivative, and exchange rate differentials. In Q1 2020, we recorded an income of 441 million shekels, mainly from the capital market. The efficiency ratio has continued to improve, reaching 49.4% in Q1 2021. This improvement was achieved as a result of a substantial increase in income and a moderate increase in cost. Looking at loan loss expenses, in the first quarter of 2020, we recorded significant credit loss expenses of 1.2% due to the outbreak of COVID-19. 88% of these expenses was composed of an increase in the collective provision due to the vast uncertainty in those days. In Q1 2021, we recorded an income of 0.28%, most of which was due to collections. The income derived from the release in the collective provision was relatively low, only 0.06%. I will elaborate on it shortly. The growth in the finance income, coupled with the moderate growth in expenses, alongside income from collections, resulted in a great improvement in the ROE, which reached 15% in Q1 2021. Slide 6 presents the figures I just discussed, but for a longer period. As for the NIM, we have been able to stabilize it at a level of 1.9% over the past 3 quarters, indicating that the main effect of the interest rate decline is behind us. As for the cost-income ratio, in the last 3 quarters, we succeeded in dropping our cost-income ratio consistently to a level of around 50%. With reference to the credit loss expenses, there has been a consistent decrease in the credit loss expenses over the last few quarters. I will elaborate on it on the next slide. All of these improvements have led to a consistent growth in our ROE. Moving on to slide 7. As I mentioned earlier, our credit loss expenses show an income of 0.28% for the first quarter of 2021, mainly due to collections. The income derived from the release in the collective provision was relatively low, only 0.06%. Despite the significant optimism in the markets, and although the entire Israeli economy has reopened, there is still quite a bit of uncertainty. There are various stimulus plans still in place, an unemployment benefit plan that is expected to end in July, and extensive state-backed loans on which the state effectively paid the interest during the first year. It is only now that we are starting to get clarity on our customers' ability to repay these debts. This is the main reason that the release in the collective provision was relatively low. Regarding the coverage ratio, which reflects the ratio between our provision and our debt, it decreased slightly to a level of 1.66%, much higher than the 1.16% level in Q4 2019 pre-COVID. Looking at the problematic debt, for the first time since the outbreak of the pandemic, we see in Q1 2021 a decline in the problematic debt of nearly 300 million shekels, mainly due to substantial collections. The major impact is reflected in a decline in the impaired debt of nearly 240 million shekels. As a result, the NPL declined to 1.02%. The decline in special mention debt, which is the lowest risk level of problematic debt, is mainly due to reclassification of debt into subordinated debt. As for deferrals, we do see that deferred payments are down significantly compared to December, from 1.1 billion shekels at the end of December 2020 to only 500 million shekels at the end of March 2021. As seen on slide 8, fees and commissions dropped in Q1 2021 by 2.8% compared to Q1 2020 and reached 868 million shekels. The decrease was mainly driven by exchange rate differentials due to higher activity in Q1 2020 following the outbreak of the pandemic and also due to the decline in account management fees. This decrease was partially offset by financing and securities transaction fees. While these numbers are lower than those of Q1 2020, they are higher than those of Q4 2020 by 5.3%, showing a positive trend. I am moving on to slide 9. The increase in expenses was moderate, only 2%. The major part of the increase in salaries is due to the provision for bonuses on the back of the high ROE. The increase in salary expenses was mostly offset by the 12.3% year-to-year reduction in operating expenses. As I pointed out earlier, the tight expenses management along with the increase in income brought us to a cost-income ratio of 49.4%. Let's move to slide 10. The credit portfolio increased substantially by 4.1% since the beginning of the year on the back of a 4.6% increase in 2020. This impressive growth was focused again in line with our strategy in middle market, mortgages, and corporate, with real estate playing a significant factor in corporate. Slide 11 shows that the loan-to-deposit ratio remains highly conservative, reaching 67% in Q1 2021. During this period, deposits continued to grow by approximately 13 billion shekels on the back of the 20% growth in 2020. Slide 12 illustrates our solid capital ratio, CET1 and TCR, and our leverage and liquidity ratio. In all of these, we represent ratios much above the minimum requirement. They are also much above the minimum requirement when we take into account the end of the easing in the regulatory requirement due to COVID, which is expected to take place at the end of September 2021. At this stage, the Bank of Israel expects banks not to distribute dividends until the end of September 2021. The figures demonstrate that we have a strong capability to distribute dividends or to adopt another buyback plan when it is allowed. To sum things up, Leumi has had a very strong quarter with a 15% ROE, improvement across all fundamentals, remarkable credit growth, consistent improvement in the efficiency ratio, and in the loan loss income on the back of collections. While it is obvious that these results were affected positively by the capital market and by the collection of debt, it is important to note that they were achieved based on high equity ratio, a CPI level of close to zero in the first quarter, and in a very low interest level environment. A few days ago, we announced another successful transaction of Leumi Partners, which manage our non-traded financial investment, where we will record a pre-tax profit of 90 million shekels in the second quarter of 2021 from an investment that we made only a year ago. This, alongside the increase in the CPI since the end of Q1 of nearly 1%, puts Leumi in a strong position as we look forward to the second quarter. I would like to thank you again for joining us today and to open the line for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like to start with loan growth, considering the acceleration over the past two quarters. Can you describe some of the drivers behind that, and do you see that trend as sustainable?
Mr. Ziv, would you like to answer the question, please?
Sorry. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hi.
We've been on mute. I'm sorry. So with regard to the credit portfolio, first, you are right. In the fourth quarter of 2020, we increased our credit portfolio by 3%, and in this quarter by 4%. So in the last half year, we've been able to increase our credit portfolio by 7%. As I pointed out in the presentation, it was exactly as we wanted it to be. I mean, we focus our growth again in middle market, mortgages, and corporate, and mainly real estate, as we did in previous years. The main driver for that is, it's first, the demand. The demand is much higher than it was in 2020. The recovery in the economy leads to increase in demand almost across the board. In mortgages, the market is very hot. There is more demand than we can support in every day. Also in other areas. This is one. But if you look at our financials, you will find that the pace of growth in Leumi is much higher than the market. So it's not only market trends, there are also internal driver. And the main internal driver, I think, is the substantial change that we made in our process in order to be more efficient in our response to credit demand. We learned from the past that that from the approval of the loans that we made, only a small portion was at the end granted because since we ended our process, the customer already took the loan in somewhere else. So we cut our process sharply and make them more efficient. We cut bureaucratic process, not qualified processes. That's first. And secondly, and more important, we implemented significantly digital processes. I mean, all the mechanism of granting loan for in different areas, now it's the computer offered the interest, a lot of processes that there is no intervention of human being at all. So it helps us, these digitalizations help us to be much faster and much more efficient and much more accurate in the price that we quoted to our customers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You've discussed previously the selling of real estate and potentially reducing the footprint, branches, real estate. Can you give us an idea of the scope of that opportunity? And then more broadly, can you give us some color on how you expect expenses to trend over the near term?
Yeah, sure. First, it's already in the numbers. You can see that year by year, we are able to cut our other expenses. Some of it is coming from the fact that we are more digital. We're using smaller office space, and the significant change is expected to be around 2023, because in at the first half of 2023 we are planning to transfer all of our headquarters from Tel Aviv to Lod near the airport. So you will see gradually over this period, you already see that on the numbers. So that's first. Secondly, the COVID did also positive. The COVID has also positive effect. I mean, not only by progressing the digital much faster, but also by learning us that we can do a lot of work from remote. We don't need to be in the office in order to do the work. So there are different procedures now and different processes that we are ending in order to do how we can do it more efficiently. Because before pre-COVID, you know, this idea was very remote. Now we saw during 2020 that we are capable to do it in a material number. So this will also have, not in the short term, but in the long term, positive effect on our cost income ratio.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Chris.
The next question is from Micha Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations on a very strong quarter. A couple questions. You mentioned in your presentation that your loan-to-deposit ratio is now close to 67%. That seems awfully low. Is there anything that you plan or can do in order to try to improve that margin and grow margins?
Hi, Micha. Good afternoon. Thank you for your question. First, I agree. This ratio is quite conservative. But when you take it into account, please keep in mind that there was a significant increase in deposit in 2020. And in the first quarter, we still see an increase in deposit. There will be a point in which this deposit, you know, will go to other usages. So I don't think that the 67% is reflecting the long term, even not the medium term. That's first. Secondly, the other part is our investment portfolio. Most of it is our investment portfolio. I mentioned at the end of the presentation, Lomi Partners, which manage our non-investment trading investment, which every year we increase its portfolio. But in the numbers of Lomi, its portfolio is still low. It's about 4 billion shekel currently. We plan to increase it more, so this is also will cause this ratio to decrease a little bit. And thirdly, if we will continue to grow faster than our competitors, it will also contribute to decline in this ratio. So this is the three main factors that I see following the in the following quarters, which might decrease this, which might increase a little bit this ratio.
Okay, thank you. I assume the same applies to the fact that a very significant portion of your balance sheet is currently in cash and deposited at the central bank. I mean, it seems very, very high, the numbers over there. Is that something that can also be put to work for the, and higher yielding investments, or it's a similar kind of short-term trend?
So it's both of it. First, it's, as you mentioned, it's short-term trend because people put money in deposit and we keep cash against it, because there will be a point in which, you know, after these 5 quarters of increase in deposit, there will be a point in which we will see a decrease. So part of it is against that, and part of it will be used for increase in credit portfolio in the following quarter. It's a combination of these two facts.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, you discussed at length why you took relatively small release of your reserves that made last year. And I'm just wondering, how did that compare to the other banks? I mean, definitely some of the other banks have significantly more, been less conservative, or I don't know really how to term it, but they've taken much bigger releases out there. Are they seeing a different trend? Are they being less conservative? Or is there something different in your loan book that keeps you from releasing more of that reserves you made last year? I mean, it just seems very significant. You have barely made any release compared to around 23% of Pauline. I mean, is there a significant difference in your loan portfolio?
I think that if there is a significant difference between our portfolio and our competitor portfolio, is that we are much more conservative in underwriting our loans. So if there is a difference, from my perspective, it should be a positive difference, not a negative difference. Because when I speak about Lomi, I don't want to speak about our competitors, but I know that we've been very conservative in our underwriting. You can, if you look backward, you can see that in the last 2 years, we didn't increase our, even much more before COVID, we didn't increase our credit portfolio in unsecured retail. We didn't increase, we even decreased our credit portfolio in small businesses. So the chance that we have something worse than our customer in our credit portfolio seems to me unreasonable. Now, when you look about the economic factors, you know, anybody can have his own judgment, but I do think that there is still lots of uncertainty, and I prefer to be more, we prefer to be more conservative and not to release at this stage a significant amount of the provision that we've built. Because of the reason that I mentioned in the presentation, there are still stimulus plans that are still in place, and no one can. I think it's too early to forecast to be sure that when they end it, everything will be good. And also the COVID, which seems to be behind us, no, it can change in a minute. So we prefer to take, you know, one or two quarters to see exactly what's going on and not release a provision and then to increase them again if something gets worse. That's our perspective about the credit provision. And thirdly, also take into account the fact that we increase our credit portfolio by 4% in one quarter. It's also affect the credit weight assets and also affect the fact that the release is relatively low. This is another factor.
I understand clearly. Okay, another question, if I may, is regarding your common equity and your regulatory capital. You said it's very high, around 11.7. Currently, you're not allowed to pay out dividends. And I'm just wondering, is there a target number once the Bank of Israel allows you to return to pay out dividends, where would you want to be? What's the minimum that you want to be from a common equity or one ratio?
Well, this discussion haven't been discussed yet in the board of directors, but what I can say is that when we adopted our buyback plan pre-COVID, so there was a tranche of 10.9% in which we said that if we come to 10.9% common equity ratio, we will stop the buyback plan. So this was the view of the board of directors pre-COVID. I assume that it will be similar.
I understand. Okay, thank you very much for that. And another question regarding CECL. I mean, I understand it's too early to provide any real information. I'm just wondering on an ongoing basis, once CECL has been implemented in January 22, what will be the impact be on how you define NPLs or non-accruals? Will it inflate your NPLs and will it allow you to have less NCOs and less provisions? Or what's the projected impact, the ongoing, not the one-time impact?
Well, unfortunately, as you pointed out, it's too early to give something to give any view about it. What I can say is that the CECL, the mechanism of CECL is that instead of having the provision when it happened, it tried to be the CECL mechanism tried to smooth it and try to implement the provision when the economy is in a good situation. That's what CECL is trying to do. When you have a good result, increase your provision. When you have a bad result, you don't have to increase them because you increased them before. You have to look on the first day of the debt and try to forecast what will happen in all over the period of the debt, not only when it become problematic. So it's in nature it's a bring a provision to a much closer point than it was before. A much earlier point than it was before. That the one-time effect will be recorded to equity. So how it will behave after that? It's too early to assume. But if we made it in the right way, so if we already put the one-time effect in the equity in the implementation of CECL, it seems to me that it shouldn't change the day-to-day P&L significantly, but it's too early to say truly at this stage.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Micha.
The next question is from Borja Ramirez of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your time. I have two quick questions. The firstly is regarding the potential conversion of the deposits. So we have seen a strong growth in deposits. I would like to ask if you are aiming to convert these deposits into assets under management, but potentially as an opportunity for fee income in the future. And my second question is if you could kindly provide some details on the evolution of the digital banking. Now that the economy has reopened, it would be interesting to see the trends there. Thank you.
Hi, Bufa. Good afternoon. Regarding your first question, so as you mentioned, in 2020, we saw a substantial growth in deposits by about 20%, and we see also a growth in this quarter, and there will be a point in which I believe that those deposits will be taken again to other usages, maybe to the capital market, maybe to real estate, I don't know. It's very hard to forecast how it will affect our P&L, because on the one hand, when we have a cheap source of deposit, and you know the bank work on the ALM, so it impacts our P&L positively because of the ALM management. On the other side, if the usage will be to take the money and invest it in the capital market, we will earn it by through commission. So at this stage, it's very hard to forecast what will be the effect of this change on our P&L. I don't think it will be significant. I don't think it will be significant because, as you can see in our financial, most of those deposits we put in the Bank of Israel deposits, in which we earn only 10 basis points on those deposits. So even if they will be taken to the capital market or to other channels in which we will not earn commission, I don't think that the impact will be significant. That for the first question. Regarding the second question, so you're completely right. There is a trend of in Lomé, and I assume also in other banks, to be more and more digital. You know, the banks changed themselves dramatically in the last few years, and I assume that this trend will continue in the following years. In all areas, we became more and more digital, not only in the interface, but also in a very, very other material process that are throughout the bank. I mean underwriting process, I mean models that calculate the accurate price that you shall get, and in many other areas. So I'm sure that if it would be 5 years ago, 5 years ahead, sorry, the picture will be completely different than it is today. As if you look back here 5 years backward, and you will look at Lomé back here 5 years backward, and you will compare it to Bank Lomé today, it's completely different bank. I'm sure that 5 years ahead, it will be completely different bank.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Lumi's first quarter 2021 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.